Try it. It is, if you want to turn to chapter 28. And we're looking at verses 1 to 10.
In the Red Bibles, it's page 1126. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us an unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the godness, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said, "He was a god." There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was ill in bed, suffering from fever. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of those on the island who were ill came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed.
Let's just pray now together. Lord, we don't want to be here out of routine. We don't want to be here out of guilt. Lord, we want to be here because we want to have an encounter with the Almighty God. I pray, Lord, that you'll remove all distractions now, that we'll be open to be led by the Spirit, and the words that you have for us will be imprinted onto our hearts, that they will not be just for today, but they'll be for the rest of our lives as we go on mission and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to thank for those people who take part in the meeting. It is a big ask. For those people on the PowerPoint, the welcoming, the bar, the people who pray beforehand, the people who read, it's good to try and get people involved. And sometimes people are nervous in doing so, but it's great as this is a family community. It's not about one person or whatever, and we try and encourage as many people as can. I just want to thank those people that are involved. Listen, this is quite a confusing text. Passage. I mean, Nathan talked about it last week with regards to really, whenever you're coming to this sort of passage here, it's just basically can seem as if it's describing basically what's taken place. And a lot of it doesn't make sense at all if you've missed our series in Acts. We're coming to the end of it now. We've actually got a big finale next week. It's going to be huge. You know, we're going to be pumped. I'm going to put a lot of pressure on Robert here as he comes for next week. But the big finale of ending this Acts series. But if you've kind of missed it, you're going to kind of struggle about what does this make sense? I mean, here you've got a shipwreck. What's that all about? Here you've got people, whenever they land in Malta here, they've got great that they're very generous, the local people there. There's a bit of superstition or a bit of karma, you know, when they think whenever the snake bites Paul and they expect him in order to die, but he doesn't die, so therefore he's actually, they interpret it as kind of a god. You've got that. You've got some healing in verses 8 and 9, and then you've got him going on towards his journey in Rome again, and you think, well, what's this all about? What is it that we can take from this? I mean, I certainly worried when I first looked at this passage, what am I going to say? Why did Paul even go to Malta in the first place? And we're only able to answer any of these questions. Why did any of this take place at all? If we actually ask the question, why did anything take place in the book of Acts? And it all relates right back to the beginning When the Holy Spirit came in order to empower us and the apostles here and the disciples here in order to go out on mission and make Jesus known for them to be witnesses. That's why anything has ever taken place in the book of Acts. And that's what we see here, that this, all of this is to do with the continued promise that Jesus gave and the mission, going right back to the beginning. So you know, as I keep repeating all the time, and I shouldn't do, I always ask myself questions. The three questions that I have asked here, or the way that I approached this was this. What was the purpose of the shipwreck to begin with? Okay, then I asked the question, what was the purpose of these two miracles that we encounter here in this passage? And the last one, I looked at Paul's prayer that you can see in verse 8, and I might have gone a bit doolally and a bit sideways on that one, but that was one of the questions that came up to me. What was it that Paul prayed for before he actually healed Publius's father and the other people there? In fact, the children who are staying in have these three questions to answer, and I left it at that, so they're going to have to listen and see what they come up with here. But why then the first one? Why was there a shipwreck? Okay, well, Paul, basically, these are quite statements. We've gone through all of this already, and I'm basically telling you what you already know. But without a shipwreck, Paul wouldn't have gone to Malta. I think it's actually that simple. This is what we're seeing here is the continuation of the witness of Jesus going into other nations. That the Malta is a far out island in the Mediterranean Sea. And suddenly Paul has gone and discovered himself there, and he's able to show and demonstrate and communicate to them about who Jesus is, about who his God was. And without doing that, they would never have gone to Malta. And it's another example of what we see that we see throughout Acts about how the gospel is not for one particular group of people. But as we ask the question, what does Acts mean for us as a church? The gospel is to go to all nations, to all people, no matter of what race they are, no matter of what religious background they come from. Everyone needs to hear about Jesus. The person sitting next to you at work or in school, so the person who is far out, we are not to have prejudice whenever it comes to telling people about Jesus. And interestingly, and I didn't write any notes on this, and I'm not going to say anything more about it, apart from we can misinterpret people who are generous. Let's just say they are nice, and the people that Paul encountered here were very generous and hospitable to them. And you go, you're kind of softer with them. Well, they're just nice people. They don't need to hear about Jesus. They're already nice. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're a hardened criminal or whether you're the nicest people in the world. People need to hear about Jesus. And it's another example about how every given opportunity should be used as a mission platform. I mean, Paul was involved in a shipwreck here. Imagine the trauma of that. It was raining. It was cold. We know that he was hungry. Now, if you wanted a time when you thought you were going to go out and tell people about Jesus, you've got all the excuses in the world. Some of us don't bother going to engage group because we think it's getting a bit late or it's a bit dark. Well, Paul had all the excuses here. I've just been involved in a traumatic shipwreck. It's cold, it's raining, and I'm hungry. And I'm in a far out place that I don't know anyone. And yet this is the very situation that God uses to reach out on people. This is the last time I'm going to speak on Acts here, so I have to use every given opportunity I've got to kind of tell you what some of my thoughts are. But you kind of heard this before. Last week Nathan talked about it as well, but there was no wasted opportunities throughout all of the book of Acts. Your situation, your specific situation that you're in right now is an opportunity. And what we've learned is that you will be empowered to be a witness of Jesus Christ. And why I'm saying that is because a lot of us can think, well, you know what, if I sort a few things out, if I sort my finances, if I basically just get myself in a better place, then I'm going to be used by God. There were people that, that I've known all my life. They say, well, as soon as I finish such and such a project, or as soon as I get myself sorted in this area of my life, as soon as my finances is organized, as soon as I get married, or maybe after I've started my family for a while, whenever I get things organized the way that I do you know what? I'm then going to really be on fire for God. I'm telling you, if it's not happening now, those people are still not doing it then. I've known that first-hand experience. I'm looking at Paul. There's no right time to have a baby, is there, Paul? But do you know what? You get on with it. There's no right time. I'll have a baby whenever I get my finances. You'll never be rich enough, let me tell you now, in order to have. You'll never have enough sleep. And I'm asking you now not to be putting it off. These Christians were involved in their given situation, in horrendous situations. It's not just when life is going well that we can be used by God, but sometimes, you know, I've actually written down here, sometimes people who are in the pits of struggles have the greatest impact as a witness, as they testify about Jesus. And they do that because everyone around knows about the sincerity. They know that it's true about what they're proclaiming. So why was there a shipwreck? It was the expansion of the mission. It was the expansion of telling people about Jesus. The second question here, what was the purpose of the two miracles? Right, big one. Paul is immediately, whenever he goes to this island here, he's kind of immediately set apart. Okay, he's cold, he's starting to gather wood in order for the fire. And suddenly God kind of puts the spotlight on him. He kind of wants to highlight him because obviously there's a message that Paul's got for people. Now, I think it would have been better if Paul would have just worn a bracelet, you know, what would Jesus do? Or a big cross, or basically a t-shirt to say, I'm a Christian. That would have been a better way to try and highlight it, that I'm a child of God. Instead, God decided to use a snake in order to bite him here. And of course, everyone expected him to drop dead. This venomous snake has bit him. And then suddenly he was able to show over a long period of time that it took no effect on him. And he was able to carry on, so people were suddenly interested in him. They took notice of what he had to say. This is special. They went from assuming he was a murderer to a God-type person. And on both accounts, obviously, they were wrong. But either way, the focus and the attention was on Paul. And here we have two miracles. We've got the fact that he was able to withstand a poisonous snake. And then obviously we've got the fact later on that Paul was able to heal people. And when I looked at this, I started to separate them to begin with. And then I realized I was wrong. I can't actually separate the purpose of these two miracles. There's no distinguishing feature between them. But both of them were able to set Paul apart. Both of them authenticated what Paul was about to say to them and to demonstrate to them. Both of them were for the reason of carrying the mission forward. They now knew that Paul's God was a different God to theirs. They knew that it was a real God, a living God. And the reason that I mention this, even though it seems to be quite straightforward and obvious, is because, and I've mentioned this whenever we looked at miracles previously throughout the book of Acts, is that a lot of people could read this short passage here and just say, look at the miracles. Well, the miracles is the purpose. The miracles is the main focus. Look at what God achieved by healing the people. But again, this is once again the difference between what is a descriptive passage to a prescriptive passage. Where is this describing a time how God used Paul in order to make Jesus' name known? In order how he reached out to people so they would believe in him? Or is this a prescriptive text to say, well, let's look at what happened here and we must therefore replicate everything that took place within this passage? People do that all throughout the Bible and look at passages and Acts all the time and say, therefore we must do the same because this is what they did. And the reason I worried about that, if you read into certain passages and say, they did it, therefore we must do it the exact same, this is the point, this is the main passage, point of the passage sort of thing, is the healing, was if that's the point, then we also need to walk around with venomous snakes in our handbags. If you think healing is the main focus of this passage, therefore we must therefore go out and heal, because that is the purpose, and the two miracles say the same things, well, we need to go out with venomous snakes and allow them to bite our hands and see what happens there, because they both brought the same message. I can't distinguish between the two. Both of these miracles are pointing to the same thing. The purpose was pointing people to Jesus. Now, I struggle saying things like this because what people hear is then, therefore, I don't believe in a healing God. Let me tell you very clearly, that is not true. I believe in a healing God. I can give you testimonies of a healing God. I pray on a daily basis for specific healing within this very church. But we as missionaries, as a witness, all the way back, thinking all what's happening all the way through throughout our Acts, we have to acknowledge that God is sovereign and he will make himself known through his chosen methods. So what I'm trying to say here is that I think a lot of people can try and orchestrate, can try and put God within a box to say, this is how God's going to reach out to these specific people. This is what he's going to do. So therefore, they try and they manufacture and fit God into what they expect or what they want to happen. And I'm standing here today saying, I'm open to all of it. He's going to decide. I'm going to ask for all of it. And then I allow God to lead me into how he wants to reach people. And why do that? Because my main objective, the main objective of what I have received from Acts here, is that I want people to know Jesus as a personal saviour. That is my purpose. That is the point. And how God does that, he is sovereign. He will decide. He will lead me. I'll ask for all of it. We should petition. We should ask. And then we are led by God. I don't want us as a church to attempt to orchestrate God into a particular method, but as I said, to allow us to be led. And the reason why my thought went on is because I was asking, whenever I was thinking about the healing, I did look very carefully at verse 8 with regards to what Paul prayed for whenever he went to Publius's house. We can read there, Publius welcomed us to his home and showed us generosity, just that's verse 7, generous hospitality for 3 days. And then verse 8, his father was ill in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to see him. And the NIV says, after prayer, placed his hands on him and he healed him. And I don't know why that gripped me the last couple of weeks. Because I wanted to know what he prayed for. I wanted to know how he prayed. Like, was it for healing, which is good, which is right? Again, listen to me. I'm encouraging that prayer. And if it was for healing, then I'd like to know what words he used. I'd like to know how he did it. Because what I hear a lot from other people and from around the world, if you turn on to the God channel and so forth, if you say things in a particular way, if you do things in a particular way, then you will get the result that you want. So I was thinking, this is it. This is fantastic. If we could just know what Paul said and how he said it, we could replicate it and get the same results, because that's what we're told by a lot of people. If you do this, this, and this, this will equal, God will do this for you. But I am absolutely convinced that Paul can only heal and could only heal. We can only heal whenever we are led by God to do so. It wasn't Paul who orchestrated this. He didn't decide this is how God's going to reach. He may have asked for it, but it was God who decided. It was him who organized and orchestrated the whole situation. Because if this is the way I was thinking, okay, because if Paul had a foolproof method, if he knew, if I do this, this, and this, this is what's going to happen here, then he would have done it for himself. But we know Paul had suffering. He had a pain. The Bible describes it as a thorn in the flesh, of which he pleaded time and time again in order for God to remove. And yet it never was. And if he had a foolproof method, well, then it would have worked on him. So he never orchestrated it. He never had a foolproof method. But God was pleased to heal Pablo's father and many others in this country. Why? Because it carried the mission forward. Paul healed these people while he continued to suffer himself. Therefore, I can confidently say to you, healing was not the objective. Knowing Jesus was. And praise God for the way that the method he used, but it was all to do with God. Again, please do not misinterpret what I'm saying. I believe in miracles. I want to see miracles. I cry out for miracles. But all throughout of Acts, I'm trying to give you, as we're coming to an end now, an overarching theme of Acts. I hope you understand this. But throughout all of Acts, throughout all of the persecution that we read about, throughout all of the preaching and the teaching that we read about, through all of the suffering that we learned, through all of the difficulties that they went, whenever the Christians were scattered, through all of the miracles that we read and learned about, God was making himself known. And that's what's happening here in this passage. And I believe it will continue to happen because he hasn't come yet. So we're still on the mission. Praise God. And allow him to orchestrate the areas of how he wants to reach out to people. The point is just to allow God to empower us, to look at that chapter 1 and verse 8. Allow him to empower us in every situation that we are given. Because the situation you find yourself in, or you will find yourself in, just like we've learned, everything is deliberate and has a purpose. So, in order to go, and you can have a go at me saying, Stephen, you've kind of gone off tangent here, I understand. But I did, this prayer, I thought about it more. What was it that Paul prayed for? What could it have been that Paul prayed for here in verse 8? And I took into consideration the rest of the passage, or even the rest of the New Testament. Did a bit of reading about it in Ephesians 1 and Philippians and Colossians 1 and later in Ephesians 3 reveals actually how Paul continued to pray for people, particularly the ones he loved and the people that he wanted to teach and reach out to. And at the heart of his prayers, and what he emphasized the most was in Ephesians 1 here, it says, I keep asking, remember that, I keep petitioning that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Started reading the book of prayer because of what Jack and Jane have started up. I've kind of got my interest back up with regards to prayer, thankfully. And a book by Timothy Keller, he actually touches upon how Paul used to pray. And this is what he says. In all of his writings and his letters throughout the New Testament, Paul prays for his friends. They contain no appeal for changes in their circumstances. Even though they're in danger and in hardship, fearing persecution, death, disease, oppression, and separated from loved ones, his prayers were not for the goods we usually have at the top of our prayer lists. I read that about 10 times. I didn't like reading it. I'm telling you, I'm just being honest, I didn't like it. Now again, let me try and give a little disclaimer. It is correct and it is right that you pray for provision. In fact, we're instructed to. And you pray for protection. But what Paul asked most frequently for the people he loved and for his friends, and the people he was trying to reach out to, was the most important thing of all. He felt this was the most vital thing that he could ask from God. That they would know him and that they would know him better. Paul sees the fuller knowledge of God as a more critical thing to receive than simply a temporary change of circumstances. So what about us and what about you? What about us as a church? What is the most important thing in your life? What is it that you and I are praying for? What is it you want most for the people that you come encounter with in your lives? What is the purpose of your life? Big question. What is the purpose of your life according to Acts? To get what you want? Is it to get change of circumstances? Or is it to know Jesus and to make him known? And to be on mission? Why did God send the Holy Spirit to empower you? What for? What does he ask you to do? And so I'm asking you, as I ask myself this week, what part are you playing in this mission that he has specifically tasked you and I to be a part of? Where is it that you're doing this? I've written down here a good starting point, by the way, is getting involved in the church. That's like a baseline. Find a church which is on mission, that loves Jesus and wants to make Jesus known, and get involved. Basic. In fact, there's probably another step than that. I hope you're starting at home. I hope you're, if you're not leading at home, you can't lead in church. It's as simple as that. I hope you're praying for it. I hope you're leading your children in it. I hope you're, if you're married, that you're praying, your men, that you're leading your wives and your family. There's loads of areas, particularly here. If you don't know where to start, believe me, there's elders here who can point you in the right direction. There's ministries that are waiting to start up. There's ministries that are looking for help, all with the mission of letting people know about Jesus. I was speaking at a wedding on Friday, which is why a lot of the congregation are totally tired. You're right there. So awake, Claire. And I probably failed to do so, but I was trying to communicate a point to them. I was asking the difference between a practical functioning marriage on a day-to-day basis to a really healthy one. What makes it different? Because you could talk about, oh, this is how you sort out arguments. This is how you deal with your finances. This is how you can exist as a couple. But that doesn't make you a close, bonded unit, though. And one of the ways that I wanted to suggest to them is that you must have a shared purpose and focus. You both must be aiming towards something. And if you're married and you're single and you don't have a purpose, if you are not on mission, then you are inevitably you are serving yourself. It's automatically going to happen. You can't help it. Life is going to become about you and nothing else other than you if you are not on mission. And you're not involved in mission. And I read 2 Corinthians about how we are ambassadors for Christ. How we're given the purpose. In fact, how he's made us a new creation. He's given us with new desires and a new passion. And do you know a byproduct of that? Do you know what happens whenever the two of you are together or you as an individual are focused? You're binded, you're strengthened, you're encouraged. Your marriage becomes healthy. Churches unite together and are stronger than ever together because they're not looking inwards. They are all together on a joint mission. And whatever people encounter and the difficulties people encounter and the different circumstances, we are all being able to encourage one another because we're all sharing the same mission and fighting and aiming for the same thing. I mean, as you get up tomorrow, think about the differences here. Some of you will stay at home. Some of you will go to work. Some of you will go to school. Some of you are going to get up in the heaviness, burden of a situation that you wish God would release you from. Some of you are going to get up and you're going to be clicking your heels and you're just so happy with what God has blessed you with recently. And no matter what your situation is, we now are all on the same mission. God has given you a different circumstances to the person sitting next to you, but on the very same purpose. He's given you a different opportunity in order to let Jesus be known. And that, as a church, we should be stronger than ever if we all share the same focus. Better than any self-help book. Are you ready? Are you able? Are we ready as a church as we finish Acts and we think about what our purpose is as a church? This here has not been a historical encounter of what happened to Paul. This here has been an enlightening of what God and how God can use his people who are on mission for him. Are you ready for the next chapter? Are you going to be involved? I pray that you will. We're going to sing three songs now as we close. I'll ask Philip to pray afterwards.